Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, June 5th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Matt Rich. Matt and his wife Sarah and their two beautiful children Micah and Abby are members of Mountain Brook Baptist. I can't wait for you to hear more about Matt's life and faith and ministry at the end of the podcast. But first, he'll read God's word for us. Thank you, Matt, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me today, Mary. We're going to be reading from Genesis 37, 1 through 11, and we will be reading from the New International Version. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a bad dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were building sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream. And this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his fathers as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and he said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Let's turn now to Psalm 145. Again, we will be reading from the New International Version. A psalm of praise of David. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who come on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever.
Thank you so much, Matt, for joining the podcast and reading so beautifully for us. I want to get to know you more. Well, we've known each other actually for a long time, but I want those who are listening to know you more. Tell me a little bit about your family.
Yeah, so Sarah, my wife, Micah, my son, who's 14, Abigail, who is 11, all church here. And then, of course, Sarah sings in the choir. She does the children's choir here. She does so many things. Micah is part of the youth ministry, and then Abby is there with the preteens as well.
Tell me a little bit about Micah and Abby's personalities.
Oh, my goodness. Micah is definitely the older child, the rule follower, the one that is going to be the great leader. Abby is the one that, if you can think of someone that sees everything with creativity, that is Abby. She sees all things in a wonderful world of creative things.
What is something that you guys enjoy doing as a family?
So one of the things that we enjoy doing, especially at home, is either playing with one another. So that could be doing some type of card game. That could be doing a board game. That could be playing some type of game together on the Switch 2 as a family. But then also just going out and being with each other. So we have a pool at the house. We love pool time at the house, being outside, just kind of being with one another and enjoying time.
And you guys have dogs too, right?
We do. We have two dachshunds. We have a long-haired dachshund, and then we have another long-haired dachshund as well that's a little bit smaller. Both of them have their personalities, and both of them are 100% dachshund through and through.
Let's talk about work.
Yeah.
What did you get your degree in, and what is your job like today?
Yeah, so my undergraduate degree was from Samford. Did a undergraduate in biology with a music minor. We'll get to that in a minute because the music minor was how I met Sarah. But then today work for a company called Press-Ganey. Most people know it because of the surveys that they get at hospitals, but I really work in the field at Press-Ganey where we help make hospitals safer because we provide the reporting system that allows them to report some adverse events and allows them to learn from them.
You mentioned meeting Sarah. We have to hear that story now.
Oh, my goodness. So we met in the most romantic place possible, and that is, Mary, in the music theory lab right there. So we were learning how to, I wouldn't necessarily say sing together, but we were learning some things in music theory and other things. I was a music minor, so I had just come in that place as a music minor. Sarah had just come into Samford as a music major.
So you're an older man.
Yes, that's right. So I'm a little bit older than Sarah, but we met in that space, but we also met in a cappella choir and have been together ever since. I always tell people December will be us dating for 23 years. We will have been married for 19 years coming up in this month.
Let's talk a little bit about your personality. If you had to, I'm putting this on Matt. I didn't ask him this question in advance. A couple of words to say who you are, what would they be?
Oh, that's a great one, Mary. And you did put me on. You did put me on the spot here.
It's a really hard one.
It is. I would say that one of those, and I think probably Sarah would agree, is my personality is when I want to learn about something, I dive deep into it. That's it's a positive and it's a negative because you can absolutely dive too far and take up too much time. So that's one part of my personality. The other part is I am the youngest child. And I have an older brother, so I'm also the one that is very feisty. If anybody knows me, I'm a little bit shorter. My brother is 6'2", 6'3". So I always was the smaller one having to fight my way through. That's the way I grew up, so I've still got that feisty spirit in me, yeah.
I would also say that you're really good at making friends, that you're easy to talk to. And so even today, I've enjoyed this conversation so far and want to get to know you more. Okay, favorite things. What is your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Okay, people are going to make fun of me for this because my family does too. I love a good vanilla.
Just vanilla.
I love vanilla. I do. I love a good vanilla,
Mary. If you're picking your favorite vanilla of all time, what would it be?
Oh, my goodness. That's a you know, you can't really go wrong if anybody goes to a Mount Brook Creamery or something like that, or if you go to the store and get you a good Bluebell or Breyers, you're not going to go wrong with any of those.
You've been a member of Mountain Brook Baptist for how many years?
If you count the first time and the second time. So now that we've been back for 12 years, we were here previously when y'all were just coming in, Mary. So now that if you count them all up, 13, 14 years.
Yes. So you moved to South Carolina the middle of that.
Also known as God's country,
yes.
Right, Mary?
Okay. Yes. We have to tread lightly there. Alabama is a beautiful state as well. While you were in South Carolina, though, something very significant happened as it relates to going back to school and learning. I want you to share with us that story.
Sure. So we were in South Carolina, and Sarah and I had, we were there, and we were about to have Micah, our first child. And we needed to move to a different space, a different home there for reasons of just space and everything else. And as we were moving, we had some gentlemen come up to our house that they were coming around the neighborhood. And most people would recognize them. They were in their white shirts and black ties, and they were LDS missionaries coming through. When they knocked on the door, I tell people this story, that it was a knock on the door that really changed my life and trajectory, and that they started asking me questions that I couldn't answer. When they started, quote, ministering to us, I allowed them into the home and just started asking them questions about the LDS faith.
So if someone doesn't know, the Latter-day Saints.
Latter-day Saints, that's right. So when they started asking and I started questioning, I thought, do I really understand what I believe and why I believe it? Because they were kind of saying the same things, right? They were saying, I believe in Jesus. I believe that we can be saved. But I didn't understand the nuances of who is Jesus for LDS, who is Jesus for us. And that really challenged my faith. And as I said, going back to when I get into something, I dive deep. I wanted to learn more. I challenged my faith to understand, how do I do that in a really academic way? And part of that was in 2016, going back to school and getting my Master's of Arts in Christian Apologetics from New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and then graduating in 2020 with that.
Wow. Two follow-up questions.
Sure.
The word apologetics is quite confusing. At least it was for me before I went to seminary. Explain what that means.
Yeah, most people think it is you saying you're sorry, because that's what we believe here. At least we see it here in the West. We think of, I apologize for something, I'm sorry. Apologetics takes its words all the way back to apologia, which actually means a defense. So you're having a defense for something instead of apologizing.
And then how does that relate to the Christian faith? Like, what are we defending? And how did it go after you learned more? Did you have follow-up questions or follow-up conversations with the men that you invited in?
Yeah, we did. So as I was learning, this was after I came back to Alabama is when I went back to school.
Okay,
So they were already gone.
Yeah.
But one thing that I will say I took from that, we still have even today, wonderful missionary work where we have JWs that have come to our house when we were at Homewood, also here in Mountain Brook where we live. But then you mentioned going back to apologetics and how that fits in and how did that work out. What I have found is that when we think of defense, we think of we need to be sure we're right, and it's almost confrontational, right? Mm. It's almost to a point of I'm going to defend it and I'm right and you're wrong. I had a great professor there, and I can still remember him saying that in apologetics, the first thing you need to understand is that the enemy is not sitting across the table from you.
Hmm. And what an example to us that you invited the men in.
It is. And we, matter of fact, we had dinner. Matter of fact, I cooked dinner for the LDS missionaries on multiple occasions. That's where the best conversations happen. I think back to a book, it's called Narrative Apologetics. One of the best ways that you can give an apology or a defense of the faith is really giving your story about what Christ did for you and for your life. Mm.
Today, you do that in many ways in our church. You also, through your life, are showing the gospel. You teach Sunday school. You're in the choir. You're a deacon. Talk to me a little bit about teaching Sunday school and how that has shaped you.
Oh, teaching Sunday school is one of the favorite things of mine. So first off, anybody that is taught, whether it's in school, church, wherever else, you learn so much more from teaching than you do just getting it as a student. I've had the pleasure and honor of being able to teach multiple classes here and still do that now. And I love it because the classes that I have the honor of teaching at this moment are older than I am. And what I have found is going into those situations, much like last week, we spoke about the death and atonement of Christ. And Mary, that's a moment I think, how many times have we heard that story? And what depths can I plumb with that story with a class that is in some ways 30, 40 years or older than I am, and yet still come out understanding more and more the depths of God's love and grace in there? So it's been an honor and a privilege to teach all of those classes and still enjoy it today, and hopefully we'll do it for years to come.
As it relates to the choir, what part do you sing, and what are some of the aspects that you think are so vital?
I try to sing tenor.
So sing tenor
is my part. But I think that one of the vital things about choir, and this is the same thing that applies to one of the spaces that Sarah is a part of with teaching choir and being a part of the boys' choir as well here in Birmingham. Choir does many different things. It teaches you teamwork. You're not a soloist. You're part of a team on there. You have to listen to others. So you have to be able to hear, am I blending with someone else or am I overpowering? You also have to have attention to detail. I don't know if y'all have seen, but any of you that know, Kelly is a little bit detail-oriented, right,
Mary? In the best of ways.
But you have to be detail-oriented so that you are looking at the notes, knowing where you're going. So you're always looking ahead. There are so many things about a choir. But then I think the best thing about a church choir, community choir like this, is the community. It's a community of faith that when we come together, we realize that worship just doesn't happen on Sunday mornings. It is happening on Wednesday nights when we are singing. It is happening every single time that we practice. And it's a wonderful community to be a part of.
Yes, and we are so blessed by your ministry specifically and by the choir each Sunday. Tell us a little bit about your faith, your journey with the Lord, how you came to faith, and then follow up with a season maybe where there was some difficulty and you sensed the nearness of the Lord.
Sure. Mine is not a remarkable story, but that's a wonderful thing, thanks be to God, that I grew up in a Christian home. My father and mother both took us to church every Sunday, Wednesday, etc. So I can remember as a small child praying the prayer and accepting the Lord as my Savior. But then growing in the faith from there, and that actually got me to the point of when we were in South Carolina. I knew that I was saved, and I had been saved. But the question was with that, did I really understand it enough to be able to say, do I know why I believe what I believe? So that was really talking about the maturation on their faith. That was many years later. But again, thanks be to God for all of those that don't have remarkable stories of He brought me out of this and this. You can simply say that He brought me out of sin and death that, quite frankly, all of us deserved. And because of His great love and His great mercy, He draws us out of that and into this wonderful light, Mary. So I am one of those stories that it's not I was in the gutter or something else, but I was simply being drawn into sin and He drew me out. So wonderful thanks be to God for His grace and love for that.
Praise Him for sure. Okay, are there verses that sustain you or Christian practices that you come back to again and again?
So yes, and I'm going to go back to the question that I missed of yours, which was there a season?
Yes.
I missed that one.
Okay.
So I will say that a season that He sustained us, one of the reasons that we moved away from Mountbrook Baptist to South Carolina was during the Great Recession. I was one of those that was affected by a job, and it was a terrible time in life. And it was just a horrible time for so many, but we knew that He sustained us. Mountbrook Baptist was here. We had, again, choir was supporting us, and they were a community. And then as we moved away, what a great thing to be able to go to a place to know that you can have a community there and sustainment and a church family there in South Carolina.
Yes, because you guys plugged in big time.
Absolutely.
So
we found that as well. Now then, going back to a verse that sustains, always think back to 1 Peter 3:15 is where we always want to be ready to have an answer, a defense. And so many people quote to that, but I also want to go past that and say that we do it with gentleness and love. So if anything that we take away from this, as we're kind of ending our time today, Mary, I want us to consider and think about, as we think about apologetics or we're thinking about sharing our faith, that we don't do it in a defensive manner that is not in love, that we look across the table and realize that that person that may be an LDS or a JW or a Muslim, whomever, that they were created in the image of God and that God may be drawing them into His wonderful grace and love. So that always sustains me that as I look across the way that if the Lord didn't draw me and for whatever reason He did, thanks be to God for that. Same thing to them, that we want to present that to them as well.
Thank you so much, Matt, for joining the podcast, for reminding us of the Lord's faithfulness, also for helping us to today, whoever we encounter, to see them as someone made in the image of God and worthy of our respect. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Sure. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this time together. We do appreciate our community of believers and those that we have come together with. And as Mary just mentioned, may we, as we go out into this world, be a light for you, be a witness for you, and to all that we see, let us remember that they are created in the image of God, and we are just to present you to them. And as you draw them to them, we just simply ask that we will be that light for you. In your name, amen.
Amen.